How many of you grew up in the church? Yes. Really? That's it? Okay. Well, so did I. And one of the great things about growing up in the church is that you learn a lot of Bible stories. I, like many of you, was born and raised in the church. I attended Sunday school every Sunday morning. I sang all the songs, or I learned all the stories. Went to youth group. Listened to probably hundreds of sermons. But my favorite part about church, about reading the Bible, was always the stories. Now, I'm sure that those of you who, like me, grew up in the church, probably all tell me great detail some of these Old Testament stories. All right, now think. Adam and Eve, right? Noah's Ark. Moses and the 10 plagues. Joshua and the Battle of Jericho. David and Goliath. King Solomon's wisdom. Elijah and the prophets of Baal. And Daniel in the lion's den. Right, you all know these stories. And I'm guessing that if we ask some of the Sunday school children downstairs, they probably know these stories better than we do, right? Probably even better than me and Pastor Walt. Now, I grew up reading, hearing, and loving the Old Testament Bible stories. I'd skip the boring parts of the Bible, like Leviticus, right? Who reads that? Or Romans, and skip straight to the stories. Who cares about how to properly sacrifice the goat on the altar by draining its blood? Like, who cares? Tell me about how the Israelites painted blood on the doorways when the angel of death passed over them. Who cares about being justified by grace through faith? Right? What does that even mean? Right? Tell me about how Peter was able to walk on water by faith. I love stories, and as I've told you before, I believe the gospel is the greatest story ever told. Now this morning, as we continue our series in Acts, we follow the Apostle Paul on his first missionary journey. Now he arrives in Pisidian Antioch. It's not the same Antioch as where he left from. Okay? And he gets a chance to share the gospel. But he doesn't break out the four spiritual laws. He doesn't tell them to pray the sinner's prayer. What does he do? He tells them a story. Now let's read this together from Acts chapter 13, verses 13 to 25. From Paphos, Paul and his companions sailed to Perga in Pamphylia, where John left them to return to Jerusalem. From Perga, they went on to Pisidian Antioch. On the Sabbath, they entered the synagogue and sat down. After the reading from the law and the prophets, the leaders of the synagogue sent word to them, saying, "Brothers, if you have a word of exhortation for the people, please speak." Standing up, Paul motioned to them with his hand and said, "Fellow Israelites, and you Gentiles who worship God, listen to me. The God of the people of Israel chose our ancestors. He made the people prosper during their stay in Egypt. With mighty power, he led them out of that wilderness. And he endured their conduct in the wilderness. And he overthrew seven nations in Canaan, giving their land to his people as their inheritance. All this took about 450 years. After this, God gave them judges until the time of Samuel, the prophet. Then the people asked for a king, and he gave them Saul, son of Kish, of the tribe of Benjamin, who ruled 40 years. After removing Saul, he made David their king. God testified concerning him, 'I have found David, son of Jesse, a man after my own heart. He will do everything I want him to do.' From this man's descendants, God has brought to Israel the Savior Jesus, as he promised. Before the coming of Jesus, John preached repentance and baptism to all the people of Israel. As John was completing his work, he said, 'Who do you suppose I am? I am not the one you are looking for, but there is one coming after me whose sandals I am not worthy to untie.'" Let's pray. Father God, we thank you for your word. We thank you for the Old Testament and the New. Lord, help us to see you in everything that we read and everything we study. Help us to live by your word and to just have life through your word. Thank you and pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen. So Paul arrives in Pisidian Antioch, and he, being a faithful Jew, he goes to synagogue on the Sabbath, right? And he listens to the scriptures being read, the law and the prophets, which is what verse 15 says. And that would include our Old Testament. I mean, it's called the law and the prophets, but that meant the whole Old Testament. And so in the synagogue, the leaders, they see Paul, and they must have recognized him as a rabbi, one learned in the scriptures, right? Who studied under the great teacher, Gamaliel. And so they turn to Paul, and they say, "Do you have a message for us? We want to hear a sermon." So he stands up, right? And he motions with his hand, and he tells them a story. And it's not just any story. It's their story. It's the story of the Jewish people. In verses 16 to 22, Apostle Paul, he basically just blasts through a huge chunk of the Old Testament, doesn't he? Now, follow along in your Bible or in your bulletin, all right? And we're gonna go through this pretty quickly. Verse 17, "The God of the people of Israel chose our ancestors." What's he talking about? He's talking about Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the patriarchs, or the fathers of the Israelite people. God chose them out of all the nations and made a covenant with them. Now, verse 17, "He made the people prosper during their stay in Egypt. With mighty power, he led them out of that country. For about 40 years, he endured their conduct in the wilderness." What's he talking about? Here he reminds them of the Exodus by Moses, right? The 10 plagues, and then they're wandering in the wilderness or the desert where they grumbled and rebelled against God. Verse 19, "And he overthrew seven nations in Canaan, giving their lands to his people as their inheritance." Paul reminds them of the conquest of the promised land under Joshua and the settlement of that land. Remember, the land flowing with milk and honey. Verse 20, "After this, God gave them judges until the time of Samuel the prophet." Here, he's referring to judges like Gideon and Samson, who saved Israel from various threats, outside nations or from civil war. And then finally, verse 21, "Then the people asked for a king, and he gave them Saul, son of Kish, of the tribe of Benjamin, who ruled for 40 years. And after removing Saul, he made David their king. God testified concerning him, 'I have found David, son of Jesse, a man after my own heart. He will do everything I want him to do.'" Now, Paul talks about King Saul. Remember his story, how he was chosen and then his throne was taken away from him. And then later, King David, who becomes the model for a godly king. All right? Now, we just went through Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, Joshua, Judges, Ruth, Samuel, Kings, Chronicles. This much of the Bible right here, all that. How long did that take? About 5 minutes? That much of the Bible, guys. Done. Jewish history in a nutshell. Well, that's nice. Jewish history. Okay, that's cool. But why should I care? Those might be interesting stories we teach our children, but they don't have anything to do with me. I'm not a Jew. I'm a Christian. All I need to do is believe in Jesus. Haven't we heard that before? Or maybe we've even said that ourselves. All we need to do is believe in Jesus. Believe in Jesus. Yeah, that's the answer. But that also raises a very important question. Believe what about Jesus? That's what the Old Testament is for. It's sort of a guide. It teaches us what we're supposed to believe about Jesus. That he was the seed of Abraham, through whom all the nations of the earth will be blessed, that he was the great prophet who was to come, even greater than Moses, and that he would give us a new law, not written in stone, but in our hearts, that he was the promised Davidic king, the Messiah, anointed with the Spirit of God, who would rule his kingdom with righteousness and justice. before we can teach people to believe in Jesus, we need to teach them what they're supposed to believe about him. We must never forget that Jesus himself was a Jew. He understood himself as the Messiah. But without the Old Testament telling us what Messiah is, it would just be a meaningless word. Now, how did Jesus know what his mission was? By studying the scriptures. And for him, he didn't have the New Testament. He studied what? The Old Testament. That's what Jesus had. That's all that the apostles had. The New Testament hadn't been written yet. We need to take the Old Testament seriously. Now, have you seen people selling or handing out Bibles that are just the New Testament? Right, they basically rip out the Old Testament. That would be like two-thirds of this Bible. And they say, here, this is all you need, right? This little thin line New Testament. Why would you do that? Is it because this won't fit in your purse? To me, that doesn't make a lot of sense. How are we supposed to know and understand the concepts of Messiah, atonement, God, heaven, covenant, salvation, if we don't have the context for those ideas? How can you know what the story is from without starting from the beginning? That would be like watching the last Harry Potter movie without having seen the first seven. Right? Who is this kid? Right? Why is he fighting this bald guy? And why are people waving these sticks around? I don't get it. It wouldn't make any sense. Don't gut the gospel from its context, picking and choosing what to believe. Because otherwise, you can make believing in Jesus, you can make that mean whatever you want it to. You could make it mean something completely different than what God intended. That's very, very slippery slope. Now, do you know how we got this Bible? Why the Christian church even kept the Old Testament? Right? Now, there was this bishop in the early church named Marcion, who lived around 85, 160 AD. So that's pretty close to right after Jesus left, right? And as he read the Gospels, he felt like the God that Jesus preached wasn't the same God that the Old Testament testified about, the God of Yahweh. Right? The God that Jesus preached was a God of love and compassion, a God of grace and mercy. The God of the Old Testament was a jealous tribal deity who was preoccupied with the law. Surely, they couldn't be the same God, Marcion thought. So what was his solution? He ripped out the Old Testament, and he only taught from the New. Now, the other church fathers, they saw this, and under the guidance of the Holy Spirit, guess what they did? They excommunicated him, branded him as a heretic, one of the first ones, in fact. Then they held a council and affirmed a Christian canon, both Old and New Testaments, which is what we have today, our Bible. Brothers and sisters, we have to care about the Old Testament, even though we're Christians. We have to take it seriously as part of our scriptures, God's word to us. It's not just a bunch of interesting stories from which to draw moral values. It's not just a record of Jewish history with no relevance for the church today. This is his story. God's plan of salvation for the entire world, which focuses on Jesus Christ. Now, at the end of our passage today, Apostle Paul mentions John the Baptist. You all know John. Verse 24, before the coming of Jesus, John preached repentance and baptism to all the people of Israel. As John was completing his work, he said, "Who do you suppose I am? I am not the one you are looking for. But there is one coming after me whose sandals I am not worthy to untie." Now, did you catch that? I am not the one you are looking for. All through Israel's history, the Old Testament, they were looking for someone. They were looking for a great prophet to give them the word of God. They were looking for a priest to make sacrifice for their sins. They were looking for a king to deliver them from Roman oppression and rule with justice and righteousness. But what is John's testimony? What's his message? I am not the one you are looking for. The one coming after me, he's the one. I'm not even worthy to untie his sandals. I think that's the kind of message that we need to preach. We never point to ourselves or to the church. We've seen what happens when people point to themselves. They look at hypocrisy and our failures, right? And they say, I don't want to look like that. I don't want anything to do with that. We've seen what happens when we point people to the church. They dig up scandals and corruption and they say, I don't want to join that. I don't want to be a part of that. No, our job is to be like John. We point to Jesus. He is the one. And that's what the whole Old Testament is about, pointing to Jesus. That's what the churches, our churches, should be about, pointing people to Jesus. If we point others to anything but Jesus Christ, we ask them to put their hope, their trust, their faith in something that will disappoint. We're not doing our jobs. Now, let me tell you another story. Two disciples are walking along on a road a couple of miles away from Jerusalem. Now, they're talking with each other about everything that had happened over the last couple of days, how they followed Jesus around for 3 years. They saw his miracles. They heard his teachings. They saw his power and authority. They thought maybe he was the one who they've been waiting for all this time, the Messiah who was promised in Scripture. And then the unthinkable happens. 3 days ago, he was betrayed by one of their own, crucified. Their hopes, all their dreams, completely and utterly shattered. So these two men, they're walking on this road, talking about all these things, and then this stranger walks up next to them. What are you two talking about? These two disciples, they look downcast, right? Their faces are long. Then one of them speaks up. What, have you been living under a rock or something? Don't you know everything that's been going on in the last few days? And the stranger simply asks, what kind of things? What's been going on? Why, Jesus of Nazareth? He was a prophet, powerful in word and deed before God and all the people. The chief priests, our rulers, handed him over to be sentenced to death, and they crucified him. But we had hoped that he was the one who was going to redeem Israel. And then this disciple goes on and on, telling the stranger about how disappointed they are and how they found this empty tomb but no body. But here's the kicker, and listen closely. The stranger rebukes them and says, how foolish you are, and how slow to believe all the prophets have spoken. Did not the Messiah have to suffer these things and then enter his glory? And here it is, the key. And beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he explained to them what was said in all the scriptures concerning himself. Now, if you haven't figured out by now, this stranger was Jesus, the risen Lord. And the two disciples were blinded from recognizing him on the road, just as they were blinded from seeing him in all the scriptures. Now, I was like that too, not too long ago. I was blind. The Jews who Paul is preaching to in our story in Acts, they are like that too, blinded. They knew their scriptures, the Old Testament, very well. They knew the stories, their history, but they didn't understand that it was his story, the story of Jesus Christ. If I preach to you a message to you and simply say things that you could have heard on Dr. Phil or Oprah or read in some self-help magazine or at Barnes and Nobles or something, I have failed at my job. If I deliver a message from the Old Testament and a Jewish person sitting in the congregation can stand up at the end of that message and say, Amen, Hallelujah, I have failed at my job. Now, even if it's a great sermon full of moving stuff about trusting in God, obedience to God, faith in God, even if I have taught the stories of the Bible heroes, good morals, Ten Commandments, even if I have done all those things but have not preached Christ, I have failed at my job. Why? because this is his story. Luke 24, 27. And Jesus explained to them what was said in all the scriptures concerning himself. If we don't realize that the entire Bible talks about him, Jesus has a word for us. Just like he had a word to those two blind disciples. How foolish you are, and how slow to believe all that the prophets had spoken. What is Paul doing in our scripture passage today? He's retelling the story of scripture. But he's saying all these stories, all this stuff that happened in the Old Testament, they have a purpose. They're leading somewhere. He's helping them to see that these stories are pointing to their Savior. And that Savior is Jesus. Now, my professor, he has this joke. Right? He says, the Bible is a hymn book. The Old Testament promises him. The Gospels reveal him. The Epistles explain him. And Revelation expects his return. Hymn book. Ha ha. Ha ha ha. No. All right. Oh. Yeah. It's all about Jesus. Believe it or not, it took me a long time to grasp that simple, basic truth. I used to think that the Bible was just a bunch of random stories with no central plot line tying them together. I used to think that the Bible was just a book of ethical teachings, rules for living a good Christian life. Now, have you heard this before? The Bible is the B-I-B-L-E. All right, the believer's instructions before leaving earth. You heard that before? Yeah? That's cute. But the Bible is so much more than do's and don'ts. This is the story of Jesus Christ, the Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. It's all about him. And until we see that, we are still blind, just like those Jews at Pisidian Antioch. Now, last summer, I graduated seminary, and you want to know the greatest lesson that I ever learned was? We had read hundreds of books, written dozens of papers. We learned Hebrew and Greek. We could tell you the tiniest nuance of a Bible verse. Now, we learned about historical context, theological frameworks, philosophical systems, splitting hairs. Right? Well, those are all good things to know, necessary even, to handle the Word of God responsibly. But my greatest learning didn't come from a book. What really sticks in my mind, something that I'll never forget, happened at my commencement ceremony. Now, as I walked up on stage, proudly wearing my hood and my gown, right, and I shook the professor's hand, and I received my diploma, and I, you know, smiled for the cameras, and I looked over, and I saw something carved into the front of the wooden pulpit. Okay, you got to pretend this is wood. And there's something carved right here. Right. And it's something that only the preacher could see, and that the preacher would see week after week after week. Five tiny words. Sir, we would see Jesus. In that instant, everything clicked. It was like my eyes were opened. It was then that I realized what my duty as a preacher and teacher of the Word is. I'm not called to come here up here on Sunday morning and entertain you guys, tickle your ears, and tell you what you want to hear. I'm not called to help you live better lives, tell you that you need to serve more or give more. I'm not even called to fill your head with Bible knowledge and theology. What am I supposed to do? I'm supposed to point to Jesus, not myself, just like John the Baptist. I'm supposed to help others see Jesus in all the scriptures, just like Apostle Paul, because this is his story. Now, until you make that leap, until you make that connection, this is just history. An old book that records some interesting things that happened to a bunch of people thousands of years ago. It is so much more than that. Lord, help us see Jesus. Let's pray. Father God, this book, your word, is about Jesus. It's about how you sent your son to come and give us life. Father, help us to see Jesus in every single page of our scriptures, Lord. Help us to love Jesus more and to want to be like Jesus. We thank you and pray in Jesus' name. Amen.